Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Centerpoint Church. My name is Bill Petrillo, and I have the great honor of being one of our pastors here, and I'm really happy to be with you here today for our online service. We are in a teaching series that we've entitled Wrapped Up. It's a three-week series that we started last week, and basically what we'll be speaking about are the things that you and I can easily tend to get wrapped up in during the Christmas season and really miss Christ in Christmas. And in thinking through the message for today, I wanted to just share a little bit of a story with you. You know, growing up as a kid, I was a big baseball fan. I was from a baseball house, and I really loved the New York Mets. I watched a lot of their games. I went to the stadium a few times with my grandfather. And by the way, if you're a Met fan, you know that that means you suffer. So I suffered as a Met fan, but I really, really did love the team. Let's fast forward now. Years later, I'm married. My wife and I have two sons. Today, they're 20 and 17. But going back to when they were kids, they also grew up loving sports and loving baseball. But it wasn't important for me to sort of indoctrinate them into the Mets. I didn't care who they rooted for. And they ended up becoming Yankee fans. So as I saw their interest in the Yankees grow, I sort of morphed into a Yankee fan. And I have to tell you, I looked the part. I wore my Yankee hat, I wore my Yankee t-shirts, we followed the schedule, we watched a lot of games together, I took them to the stadium. And I will tell you, the Yankees have a lot of traditions, and I really, really enjoyed the team traditions. For example, they always wear the blue pinstripe uniform. It's a Yankee tradition. And after every home game, when they win, they play the song New York, New York. They had the tradition of Monument Park out behind center field, where they have monuments honoring the great Yankee players of the past. And the tradition of Old Timers Day, once a year, where retired or ex-Yankee players come together for sort of a scrimmage game. I loved the traditions. I certainly looked the part. In fact, here's a picture. Here's a photo now. This picture is about 8 or 9 years ago, but that's myself and my two sons, Matthew and Christopher, at a Yankee game. Notice, by the way, the little guy in the middle today towers over the whole family. But I want notice myself wearing the blue and white striped shirt. So even though it wasn't a Yankee shirt, I had the tradition of the blue and the white. And then a few years ago, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I'm home one day, and the three of us are watching the Yankees play the Mets on TV. And my true heart comes out, and I start rooting for the Mets. And my two sons kind of look at me like I have three heads, and they're like, Dad, you're rooting for the Mets? And I'm like, yeah, guys, my heart's for the Mets. I really love the Mets. You see, I had been going through the motions as a Yankee fan, giving the Yankees a lot of lip service, and I believed it. I was doing this without realizing it. I certainly had the outward appearance of a true fan, but I had no real heart for the Yankees. So I want to hereby right now repent, turn away, and renounce any interest in the Yankees. I just lost half of you. I'm sorry. I know that. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, Yankee fans. I promise I'll still root for them as long as they're not playing the Mets. But you know, in a different but similar way, when it comes to our walk of faith, when it comes to our celebrating Christmas time, a few good questions to ask ourselves are you just going through the motions? Are you just paying God lip service? Are you wrapped up in traditions or rituals? Or are you giving God your heart? Are you pursuing a relationship with Him? You know, Jesus had something to say about this. And today, we're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And what I'd like to do is read them straight through, and then we'll go back up to verse 1 and kind of go through it together, and we'll see what God has for us today. So starting in Matthew 15, verse 1, the scripture says, Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God,
They are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So let's go back to verse 1, and what does Jesus say? What does the scripture say? Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Basically, the religious elite, the elders, the Pharisees, and they came to scrutinize and to criticize Jesus. You see, there was a lot of talk about Jesus, and the scripture makes it clear that most of the opposition against Jesus in his day came from the religious leaders who ultimately influenced the people against him. And it's clear from the scripture that these leaders were jealous of the following that Jesus had and the respect that he had. And then in verse 2, they say to him, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." You see, what happened back then was this. God had given the law, the commandments of God, to Moses for the Jewish people. And the religious leaders over time took God's actual commands, his law, and they expanded them, and they literally added hundreds of additional laws or traditions for the people to follow. And these man-made traditions became authoritative. They became equally important to God's actual laws. And this placed tremendous weight upon the people, a great burden upon the people. It was impossible to live by all of these traditions and rituals. And sadly, the focus really wasn't on a relationship with God. Rather, it was on adhering to these traditions and these rules. So, for example, washing your hands before eating. Understand, the disciples weren't dirty. This tradition was not for sanitary purposes. It also included washing cups and kettles and pitchers. And the tradition taught that by washing your hands before eating, you were basically washing away any contact you may have had with anything impure or unclean, including Gentiles, a Gentile being anyone that wasn't Jewish. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's Jesus performing miracle after miracle, teaching with tremendous wisdom about the kingdom of God. And the leaders ignored all of that and were criticizing Jesus because his disciples were violating a man-made tradition. You see, they were so wrapped up in washing hands that they literally missed the Messiah right in front of them. And I have to tell you, the same thing can happen to you and I. We can get so wrapped up in the busyness of this time of year, so wrapped up in what goes on during Christmas season, that we can miss Christ in Christmas. You see, our traditions are not inherently bad. In fact, they can be really amazing. They can add richness to our relationship with God. They can help us all to be united and to remind us of our identity in Christ. They can sort of connect us with our past and give us nice, warm feelings of nostalgia. But it's so important that you and I see Christ in all we're doing, that we see Jesus in all the things that we're doing through this holiday season, and that we maintain a distinction between God's word, God's actual commands, God's heart, between what Christmas represents and our human tradition. And it kind of becomes problematic when things become sort of like a ritual or like a checklist. You know, for many people, it's very important to go to church on Easter Sunday and on Christmas and then sort of check God off the checklist. That was me growing up. It was important to go to church those 2 days and check God off the list. Or hey, you know, I brought some old clothes. Every year on Christmas, I take old clothes and we bring it to the bin. We drop off the clothes for those that might need clothes. I'm good. I'm done. I observe the holiday. Or, hey, I can't take down my Christmas lights or my Christmas tree yet because I'm very observant during Christmas. And I wait until 12 days later for little Christmas to be over, even though I don't even know what that means. Hey, I'm really in the spirit this year. I have to tell you, I'm really feeling Christmas. Each day driving to work, I was just cranking. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. I'm really feeling it this year. Let's see how Jesus responds to what the Pharisees and what these religious leaders had to say.
First, let me just tell you that trial lawyers know that in court, the best defense is a good offense. To sort of take your opponent's argument or take what the witness is saying and to turn it around and to get aggressive and to put it on them. Well, we must have learned that from Jesus, because in verse 3, Jesus takes their criticism and goes on the offense. Let's hear what he says. "Why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition?" You see, he turns it on to them and points out that they transgress or that they violate God's actual command to honor their man-made tradition, because their confidence was in their tradition, not in the actual word of God or the heart behind God's word. And then Jesus goes on in verses 4 through 6 to give an example of what he's speaking about. "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So what Jesus is referring to here is this. We read in Exodus and Leviticus how God gave a clear directive to the Jewish people to honor, to take care of their parents. This is not a tradition, this is an actual instruction from God. But to get around this responsibility, to get around the responsibility that comes, financial and otherwise, from taking care of the parents, they were following, they being the Jewish people, were following a tradition known as Korban, C-O-R-B-A-N, Korban. Basically, what Korban means is to dedicate something to God or to devote it to God. So all they had to do was to simply pledge or to assert that they were going to take their possessions or their money or whatever it was and dedicate it to God and the temple upon their death. And then they didn't have to use it to help their parents who needed it at the time. And they were allowed to keep it the whole time and to use it for themselves. Now, this tradition appeared spiritual on its face, right? I'm dedicating this to the Lord. But in reality, it was done selfishly to keep the possessions for oneself, all in violation of God's actual law. Now, Jesus doesn't hold back his feelings on this. He doesn't sugarcoat things in his response. Listen to how he starts off verse 7. "You hypocrites! You hypocrites!" What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is basically putting on a mask or a costume and pretending to be something you're not. Like putting on a Yankees hat and pretending to root for the team when you're really a Met fan. A hypocrite is someone who claims to have certain beliefs or to follow certain beliefs, but whose behavior or behave in a way that sort of counteracts those alleged beliefs. And then he goes on in verse 7 to say, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you." He's now going to refer to Isaiah, who was a prophet, someone who spoke for God, who lived approximately 700 years before Jesus came. So he's going to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. He's going to quote and refer to what he said in verses 8 and 9 here. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The exact definition of a hypocrite, by the way. "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus was calling them out for dead religion, for dead worship, for the fact that they weren't motivated by a love for God or a desire to have a relationship with him, that they were driven by a desire to have an outward appearance of holiness while building up their status and their wealth, that they were basically, as he says, giving God lip service, which rendered their worship meaningless, lifeless, void, and empty. You know, you and I live in a society very concerned with outward appearance, and this can easily slip its way into the church. We can learn how to walk, talk, and act like Christians, especially during Christmas time, while completely lacking in any real relationship with Jesus. Hey, you know, I packed up 4 boxes with toys and books and I brought them to the toy drive for the kids. Yeah, but there's no real prayer time and time spent alone with God in your life. You know, every Christmas, once a year, we take food and we bring it to the shelter to help feed those who are hungry. That's great, but you're living a life of self-sufficiency, not Christ's sufficiency. You're trusting in self, not trusting in God. Hey, you know, I hosted a holiday party, a holiday get-together this year. I even went out. I got the green cookies, you know, the holiday spirit with the red sprinkles. That's beautiful. But you haven't picked up a Bible in 6 months. Hear me, church. God wants a relationship with you, a close, personal, intimate relationship with you. Listen to Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's knocking on the door of your heart. This speaks to fellowship. He wants to come in. He wants you to let him in. He wants to dine with you, fellowship with you. He wants to know you. He cries out for a relationship with you. Listen to his words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He calls you to come to him. This screams for partnership, relationship. He wants you to come give him his burdens. He wants your burdens and my burdens. He wants to give you himself. He wants you to experience his love. He wants to take you and I and wrap you up in his love. He wants us wrapped up in his peace. He wants us wrapped up in his presence. He wants a relationship with you. What does it mean to be in a relationship with God? You know, we say that a lot, right? You know, it's about a relationship with God. But what does it actually mean? Well, we can do a teaching series on this for sure. But basically, we're talking about knowing him, trusting him, abiding in him or spending time with him, depending upon him, speaking with him, growing in relationship in him or growing in him, sort of being obedient to his will for us as a response to his love for us, not to earn his love. He couldn't love you or me any more or any less than he does right now, but being obedient as a response to his love. You know, Jesus called them hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites. Can I tell you a story about me being a hypocrite? When I was a kid, all I knew that during Lent season, I wasn't to have meat on Friday. I didn't know why, but I couldn't have meat on Friday. I believed in God, but I wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't read a Bible. I wasn't in a relationship with God. And I can remember a few times as a kid coming home from school distraught because during lunch, I mistakenly bit into a hamburger, not realizing it was Friday. Mom, Dad, what's the matter, Billy? What happened? I ate half a hamburger, and then I realized it was Friday. I was distraught. It didn't matter that I stole the crayons out of Jimmy's desk. It didn't matter that I was having fights in the playground. It didn't matter that I lied to the teacher about having done all my homework. I was devastated. I ate the hamburger on Good Friday, or some of it. Hypocrite I was. Are there areas in your life where you're behaving like a hypocrite? Are there areas where maybe you've compromised and you're following the ways of the world with a heart drifting from God, all while wearing a Christian costume? Missing Christ in Christmas? Hey, you know, I carefully display the white lights and the colored lights in front of my house. It's very important to me. Yeah, but you're gossiping and you're backstabbing and you're tearing people down. You know, I must have fish on Christmas Eve. You know, I'm very observant. It's a tradition in my family. We have fish on Christmas Eve. That's great, but you're watching things on the computer that God says you shouldn't be looking at. You know, we always have the stockings, the Christmas stockings that we hang in a certain spot. It's just a tradition in our family. That's wonderful. But you're in an inappropriate relationship that you know God says is wrong. You know, I always wear the same red sweater every Christmas. This is my Christmas sweater. I love to celebrate the holiday and wear my sweater. That's wonderful. But you won't mention Jesus to your non-believing friends and family members. You know, I have to tell you, I have a deep burden about this. Things seem to be changing so rapidly in our culture. We look all around, there's such division and anger and so much going on. It just appears like the spiritual forces of evil have created a stronger push than ever against God and his ways. You know, Romans 12:2 tells us that we're not to be conformed by the ways of the world. We're not to copy the behaviors and the patterns of the world that are in opposition to God's ways. That we're to stay and let God transform us by his Spirit through the inside to walk with him. Basically, that we're not to let the culture wrap us up in its ways, the ones that oppose God. Have you found yourself being conformed by the culture, sort of caving into the pressure, all while listening to jingle bells and wearing your favorite Christmas outfit, honoring God with your lips, raising your hands in church on a Sunday? Have you believed the deception that the church sort of needs to adapt to the times and the culture? Church, Malachi 3:6 says to us, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church doesn't need to adapt to the times of the culture if it's in opposition to God's word. Instead, the culture and the society need to come to the word of God and to meet Jesus. May it never apply to you and I when Jesus says, you hypocrites, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And you know, man-made traditions, dead religion, will stifle the working of the Holy Spirit in my life and yours, will prevent us from walking in the fullness of what God has for us, from receiving the giftings that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, to work through us, to be a light, to be the light for Jesus in a world of darkness. These man-made rituals and traditions without a relationship, dead religion, will prevent us from standing in the authority and the power that Jesus gave us to stand against the forces of evil around us and will keep us from knowing who we are in Christ. The devil would love to have you and I wrapped up in tradition and dead religion. He doesn't mind at all if you're out buying gifts all day long, as long as you're forgetting or not realizing the reason we buy gifts for one another is because we've been given the greatest gift ever in the person of Jesus. Again, there's nothing inherently wrong with our traditions. Candy canes are great, but they can't help you know Jesus. Going to see the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree can be a beautiful experience, but it can't give you peace in the middle of the storm. Frosty the Snowman is cute, but he can't forgive your sins. The gingerbread house is delicious, but it can't give you a new heart and a new spirit. And you know, tradition and religion can be more subtle than that. Praying with indifference, almost like we don't even believe we're talking to the God of the universe and he hears us. Empty, heartless worship, hearing God's word but never applying it, taking communion as a habit and never reflecting on its beauty. It's about relationship over religion. Relationship over religion. It's about the heart. You see, the most important thing in this life is for you and I to have a relationship with the only one who saves, to have a relationship with the only one who gives us hope, with the only one who deserves our heart. He's the one who showed his heart for you and I. He's the one who proved how much he loves us and how much he wants a close relationship with us. He's the one who saw 2,000 years ago that you and me and everyone else were wrapped up in sin and separated from God because of the seriousness of sin, separated from him, on a one-way road to eternal separation from him in a real place called hell. It was because he wants your heart and he wants a relationship that he transcended eternity and came here, born of a virgin, wrapped in clothes in his mother Mary's arms in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It's because he wants your heart and a relationship with you that he lived the perfect life that none of us could ever live, the sinless Son of God, Jesus, all man and all God when he was here. It was because he wants your heart and a relationship with you that he wrapped up your sin, wrapped up my sin, wrapped up the sin of the world and took it on himself on the cross. It's because he wants your heart and a relationship with you that 3 days later he rose from the tomb very much alive, having defeated sin and defeated death. He has Satan wrapped up and on a leash, and he, Jesus, will return one day in all of his power and all of his might and all of his glory, and he will wrap up Satan and his demons and send them where they belong for all of eternity, to hell. He's the one, because he wants a heart, your heart, and a relationship with you, who made a way for all of us, no matter how far we've strayed, no matter how bad we think we are, to come to him for forgiveness, to tell him that we believe that he died for our sins and he rose again. He made a way because he wants your heart and a relationship for you and for me and all people to be completely forgiven of sin, past sin, present sin, and future sin. It's because he wants your heart and a relationship that he made a way for us all to walk in this life in a close relationship with him, knowing we'll spend eternity with him in heaven when real life will begin. It's because he wants your heart and a relationship that he made not just a way, he made the only way. The only way for us to be forgiven and to get right with God. There aren't multiple ways to him. There's one way, and it's in and through Jesus. He told us in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one gets to the Father but through me. Our hope is not in our tradition. It's in the person of Jesus. You know, the worship team is going to play one more song for us. It's a great song. It's beautiful. It's called Cornerstone. And at that time, I'm going to encourage you to worship from wherever you are. And the first line of the song tells it all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, I have to tell you, those years as a Yankee fan, I really did go through the motions. I outwardly appeared to be a Yankee fan. I enjoyed their traditions, but I really had no heart for them. And if there's one thing I want you to remember from this message, it's just three words from this message, if nothing else, and that's this. Let's go Mets. Okay, no, that's not the takeaway for today. It's not the takeaway for today. But I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge me. Let's take a look at our lives. Are we wrapped up in traditions and rituals? Are we just going through the motions with the outward appearance as Christians, with no real heart for God or relationship with him? If that's you, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. We're all on this journey together. We've all been there. God loves you madly, just the way you are. He meets you just the way you are. But I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you now. Let's make this the best and the most meaningful Christmas ever. Let's get humble before God, recognizing who he is and who we are. Let's make sure we are giving him all of our heart. Let's take time during this season to reflect on who and what we're actually celebrating. Let's show him our love by our obedience to his will, to stand for him, to stand up for him. Again, not trying to earn his love. He loves you. As you are, you can't earn it. It's unconditional. But as a response to his great love for us, let's make sure that we're not getting wrapped up in tradition. Let's you and I get wrapped up in pursuing this heart relationship with all we have. Let's give him a gift this year. Give him your life. Give him your life. Let's get wrapped up in his love. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us more than we could ever, ever understand. We thank you that your divine love is so far greater than our understanding of love. Thank you that you want and that you made a way for us all to come to you, to be forgiven and to have a relationship with you. I want to lift up everyone listening to this right now, Lord God. Please bring to light anywhere in our lives, anything that has us distracted from you or wrapped up in the wrong things. Put it on all of us, Lord, to want to pursue you. Fill us with your spirit to want to pursue you and to enjoy and to experience the relationship with you that you died to give us. We just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, all you're doing, and all that you will do. I pray you bless everyone here, Lord, to have an amazing Christmas season this year with their eyes on you, Jesus, not wrapped up in traditions, but wrapped up in your presence, wrapped up in your love. And I pray that you and you alone are glorified through each of our lives. So we thank you and we praise you. We lift up this prayer. We lift up this service all to your glory, Father, in the mighty, matchless, and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.